I feel it upon my heart to speak a little as the one who wants to be near you. We know what it is in this world to go through our lives in different situations, whatever that may be. I think we would all say we've known what it is to be at a distance. We've known what it is to be felt as if we are alone and nobody's there for us. Just to be completely cast out, you might say, in a sense. I would like to start in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we begin at verse 8. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. A man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" So here we are at the very beginning of time, you might say. God had created this beautiful garden for man to be in. And as we know, and we can read earlier, the serpent who was the devil himself, very crafty, came in and they ate of the tree of life. And because of that, they feared God. You think of what it must have been to God coming down into this beautiful garden, coming down there, so as they heard the voice of Jehovah alone, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God coming through that garden because he wanted to commune with man. He wanted to be near him. Think of the love God showed. Didn't come through that garden in the heat of the day. Came there in the cool of the day, when it would be the man might be at rest, you might say, at the cool of the day. And he came through that garden, and yet man and his wife hid himself from the presence of Jehovah alone in the midst of the trees of the garden. I wonder if there's anyone here today who's trying to hide themselves from the presence of God. Dear friend, that's not what God wants. He wants you to be near him, and he wants to be near to you. He doesn't want there to be any distance. We'll come on to that in a moment. It's the way the distance has been removed. But God, as we can see here, right from the beginning of time, he didn't want that distance. He wanted to be near to man. It says, "And Jehovah alone called to man and said to him, 'Where art thou? Where art thou?'" He sought to find him out and draw near to him. And dear friend, that's just like the gospel today. God said to you today, he would say that again fresh today, indeed. Where art thou? Where are you in relation to your sin state? Where are you in relation to your eternal soul? Dear friend, there's an urgency in the gospel. An urgency to come to the man of God's choice. Not just to go on your own way, seeking to find things that would just satisfy yourself. Where will they get you? They will get you nowhere. And you will find that as God continues to call to you, as he will do in many ways, if you turn your back on him, he'll still call to you. He'll still call to you and he'll still say, "Where art thou?" Because he wants to be near you. He wants to be with you in the pathway you're on. He doesn't want you to go on alone. He doesn't want you to be concerned and worried and feel that you're left out of everything and all these things. He doesn't want that. No. He wants to bring you into eternal salvation and joy. And dear friend, he's done everything that he can possibly do so that you might be brought into that enjoyment of closeness to himself. Well, if you'll bear with me, I'd just like to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 58. Very beautiful scripture. And I think many may have noticed on the Day Dawn calendar yesterday. And it struck me, this particular verse, I think, is very wonderful. He says, "And then shall thou call, and Jehovah will answer." So chapter 58 of Isaiah, verse 9. "Then shalt thou call, and Jehovah will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, Here I am." Isn't that wonderful? And you'll cry in your distress, as you feel so far away from the things of God. As you feel that you've turned to your own way and gone on in your own pathway, and you feel your need to turn to God, as you cry out to him, is he at a distance? No. No distance at all. And he would say to you, "Here I am." I think that's wonderful. The God that we have to do with, the God that we point you to, dear friend, is a loving God. And he wants you, as we were reminded in our reading, he wants you to have that peace in your heart, dear friend, as knowing that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have come to know him as a Saviour God. Oh, dear friend, there is so much to offer in the gospel, so much more than what could be offered in this world. Dear friend, and you will find that as you go on in this world, as putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as coming to know God in that way, that the difficulties will be there, yes. I don't say that they will go away. They will still be there. But dear friend, you have one that you can turn to. One indeed that it speaks of that will be closer than a brother. Dear friend, that's the God I know. That's the God that I've proved. And I trust each one in this room will prove it too. He would certainly say to you, in your plea, as you cry out to him, he would certainly say, "Here am I." Well, I don't wish to be long, but, you know, they say this distance came in with God and man. Nothing of what God would have done, but Satan brought in sin. This whole world marked by sin. But you know, there's another scripture we could have read. I'll just refer to it briefly. Well-known scripture in John's Gospel, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's not the things of this world, dear friend. That's not the sin in this world. No, that's the persons in this world. That's you and me. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because, dear friend, he was the only one that could be a perfect sacrifice before a perfect and holy and righteous God. He was the only one, dear friend, who could take that distance away. So much more goes on in the Old Testament, doesn't it, with the many sacrifices there were. These sacrifices, they were made for a time. And men would have found peace for a while. But then they found that things came in and they had to go back and make another sacrifice and another and another. And they had to keep going back. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made when he went to that cross of shame, dear friend, was a sacrifice done for once and for all. He took my place in his body on the tree. It was me that deserved to be there, the sinner. I deserved to be there. I deserved to be scourged in the way that he was scourged because of what I have done. I deserve to have those nails driven through my hands and my feet. I deserve to be put on that cross, and that cross thrust into the ground with me upon it. That's what I deserve. Wonderful, wonders of wonders. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came here as a lowly babe, the one who showed love, the one who did no wrong in any way or any form. He took my place. He went that way. All those things and more besides, he took on himself so that I could go free, so that I could come into a relationship with God. Because in my state, there's no way I could. Because the God I know is a sin-hating God. I couldn't come into his presence in that state at all. I was far away from God. And dear friend, if you're in your sin, you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then dear friend, you're far away from God. But dear friend, that distance has been removed because of what the Lord Jesus has done. And dear friend, becoming that perfect sacrifice before a holy and righteous God. What a Savior. We sometimes sing, don't we? Hallelujah. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus, the one who, they say, has suffered in that way, suffered for sins, went into death. He lay in that grave 3 days and three nights. And then he came out of that grave. Stone rolled away for all to see. My Savior had come out. Death could not hold him. It was far greater than that. All that man would try and do, they sealed that stone, didn't they? That huge stone on the tomb, sealed it in. We won't let him out. He could come out from there. No problem at all. What a Savior. Now, risen and glorified, what a place he has. And from that place, he's calling you, drawing alongside, seeking that you would put your faith and trust in him. So that, dear friend, you don't have to go through this world alone. You no longer have to be alone. He was truly alone. My Savior, he knew what it was to be alone. When he suffered on that cross at Calvary, he knew what it was to be alone. When there was that darkness over the whole world, think of that. My Savior knew what it was to be alone. He knew a loneliness at that time, I believe, that no one would ever know. And yet was prepared to go that way for you and me. And you know, in love, when he came from that tomb, he drew near to his own. We've been reminded today when he showed himself to the disciples. And I'll just refer to Luke's Gospel in chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 15. And it came to pass, as they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself, drawing nigh, went with them. Think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, drawing nigh, went with them. Dear friend, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you will find that he will draw nigh to you and he'll go with you. He will draw you into an area of love. He will draw your heart towards the love of God. These two, they were going away. Where's your pathway leading you, dear friend? The Lord Jesus will draw near. And he'll bring you back. It says of the sheep, doesn't it? He went and found. He left the 99 and found the one that was lost. And he brought it back upon his own shoulders. Dear friend, he'll bring you back to the flock. Bring you back to where there are others who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Where there are others where you can find the joy of speaking over the Lord's things together. Where you can find the joy, indeed, of just being in the company of those. How many there are. There are many, dear friend, that have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Dear friend, know what it is to be in the enjoyment of being able to speak over the Lord's feet. That's where he'll bring you back to the flock, to his flock. How great his flock is, but he'll bring you back into that area where you can be in the enjoyment of things, dear friend. Not to go on your own way, but no, to find that he is with you all the way. Indeed, often referred to as an all the way home saviour. So these two, he drew near to them and he went with them. I think it's very blessed that. It says in verse 28 of the same chapter, and they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. And they constrained him, saying, stay with us. It is toward evening. The day is declining. And he entered in to stay with them. Dear friend, how wonderful. He made as though he would go further. Where you are on your journey, dear friend, he'll go with you. And dear friend, his desire will be, indeed, as it has these two found, that he would stay with them. He entered in and stayed with them. He'll stay with you, dear friend. He'll help you and he'll guide you. So I said he is an all the way home saviour. He'll guide you right the way through. Dear friend, God in his love has given everything, you see. So there was that distance that came in, as I said, right at the beginning. But now, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that distance has been removed. And dear friend, you can come into that full joy and blessing of coming to him, knowing him as your own personal saviour, dear friend, and putting your faith and trust in him for the way forward. On your own? No. Because now, as you do that, you have him with you every step of the way. And how can you prove it? How can you prove that? Well, dear friend, God in his love, the God of love that I know, hasn't only stopped there, but he's given of his own blessed Holy Spirit too, dear friend, to help you, to strengthen you, to strengthen you into the things, into heavenly things, to help you, to guide you, to comfort you. Says he could say, the Lord Jesus could say of himself, I'm going away, but I will send another comforter. Dear friend, the comforter has come. The Holy Spirit here indwelling those who love Christ. He'll guide you. And he'll guide you into all the truths. Dear friend, avail yourself of these things. You know, and you'll find. You'll find as you come to the end of your life, as long as you may be left here, by the end, you can say, I've come to know that God who has been near to me all my life. How wonderful. Dear friend, if you don't, there's a solemn side to the gospel. Dear friend, are you going to spend eternity? You can spend it with God, who wants to be near you, who wants to be with you. Your alternative is your spirit. I don't wish to scare anybody, but it's a fact. It's the other side of the gospel. The lake of fire, which is also there throughout eternity. Dear friends, I appeal to your heart. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to know the God that wants to be near you. And you will find, as we read in Revelation, you'll just bear with me, just finally, just to turn to Revelation in chapter 21. You see, you've gone through the sorrows of this life. Whatever they may be, whatever they might bring upon you. You know, what a joy. When you come to Revelation 21 and verse 4. Speaking of the God I know, says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall exist no more, nor grief, nor cry, nor distress shall exist any more, for the former things passed away. Think of that, how near God wants to be to you, dear friend, that at the end of time, he will wipe those tears away from your eyes. Dear friend, he couldn't come any closer. He wants to be near you now. He wants to draw alongside you, dear friend, and help you in your journey so that you can have this prospect as many do in their hearts and knowing that he will wipe away every tear. Well, may you come to know him. May you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May you come to know the God who wants to be near you for his name's sake.
Amen.